You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
For the past 2 weeks, I've been embarking on an investigation, answering questions as to why student fees are so expensive and where that money goes to. I spoke to a range of experts with the goal of unraveling the complicated world of university fees. Here it is now. University isn't cheap. According to UK-based education resource FutureLearn, in 2020, New Zealand domestic students paid an average of $9,585 a year for their courses. University fees haven't always been so expensive, however. Just 30 years ago, university was completely free. Legislation introduced by the government in the 1960s made university and living costs free for students and created a thriving student culture. This was because there was no barrier to education. All that was required was a keen thirst for knowledge, leading to a diverse group of students. Cities like Otago and Wellington became famous for their strong sense of community around university campuses. It was in the early 1960s when the path to higher education was something that not many high school leavers chose to follow. In 1962, only 16,524 students were attending university, and only 36% of them were studying full-time. New Zealand only had a population of around 2.5 million back then, meaning that a lot of people in the country didn't have education. To get more students into classrooms and ensure that New Zealand had an educated population, the government invested heavily for decades to make sure that university was an appealing prospect for everyone. However, in the 1980s, the country's economy took a dive. New Zealand went from being the sixth richest country in the world to the 19th. With inflation and unemployment on the rise, the national government, led by Robert Muldoon, freezed wages and prices. This led to the National Party being ousted in 1984 by David Longley's Labour Party. The new government was one that believed in free market economics and deregulated many industries as well as significantly reducing taxes. It was during this era that the government decided that paying for students' education was far too expensive for the taxpayer. In 1989, Labour introduced a flat fee for tuition, with an average yearly cost being $129. It was the first time students would have to pay for university in 27 years. In the 1990 election, Labour was voted out and National was re-elected to solve the effects of the 1987 stock market crash. One of these solutions was to abolish the flat fee in 1991, allowing universities to set their own fees. Overnight, fees rose from that year's average flat fee of $288 to $1,250, a price increase of nearly 334%. To keep students attending tertiary education, the government introduced a student loan scheme where students could borrow money and pay for their education. Initially, students had to pay interest on these loans, but it was soon amended in 2006 with interest only being added if a student leaves the country. Since then, the cost of tertiary education has skyrocketed, and New Zealand now has $16 billion of student debt, and Aotearoa is the 14th most expensive place in the world to study. To lower debt and make higher education more appealing, the 2017 Labour government introduced a fees-free scheme, making the first year free with the hopes of expanding the scheme to 3 years of free university. For many students, this was a sigh of relief, as many degrees only took 3 years to complete. But then the COVID-19 outbreak happened. The government backtracked many of their promises to students, only making the first year free, so they could support COVID relief. The COVID-19 lockdowns also brought on a lot of other issues. With online classes becoming the norm, students were still having to pay incredibly high fees for classes they weren't attending in person. This led to many students feeling disheartened in their studies. Universities had to hand out grade bumps and extensions just to make sure that students would pass assignments. While some unis offered partial refunds for things like accommodation, students still had to pay for their courses in full. This led to a lot of frustration, as students were still paying for courses that they couldn't access facilities for, which were crucial to their studies. One student that BFM spoke to called it robbery by daylight. Alongside a cost of living crisis, life for a student is becoming increasingly hard. In 2017, a survey by Unitech found that 17% of students were skipping meals so that they could afford to study. So, is it time for another change? Before we discuss that, we need to figure out how universities make their money. So for the short answer, universities in New Zealand are publicly owned crown enterprises. with students, the government, research groups, and industry sectors all contributing to the operating costs. Here is Universities New Zealand Chief Executive Chris Whalen on how universities are operated.
All universities in New Zealand are publicly owned Crown entities. So they are classified actually as autonomous or independent Crown entities, but all of them are basically subject to legislation. And all of them are subject to government reporting.
According to Universities New Zealand, roughly 42% of all income made by the institutions comes from the government. Roughly one quarter, or 28%, comes from student fees. Research that the university does is also a significant part of how much the university makes a year. Around 30% of that money made by universities comes from commercial research. So, my next question is, why are tuition fees so high? For the past 33 years, the cost of studying in New Zealand has been slowly rising. Gone are the days where students could receive a grant from the government allowing them to attend university for free. Now, the average yearly cost for a student, for a domestic student, is $8,595, which is a stark contrast from the $129 in 1989. Here is Universities New Zealand Chief Executive Chris Whalen on why he thinks fees are so high.
So there's a long history to fees, and it goes back to the late 1980s, There are a lot of reasons for that, but it basically goes back to the history of education in New Zealand, and particularly the 1980s. So post-Second World War, basically governments decided it was good to have an educated population, and they started a long period of effectively opening up access to higher education for everyone. By the 1980s, particularly after 1984, the government's really focused on getting people into higher education and degree-level education, and it had got so expensive for the government that basically they looked in 1989, the first year being 1990, at introducing the first set of student fees. At the time, it was basically understood that student fees, that students should be contributing towards the cost of their education, but that there was also a public benefit in having people educated. So very roughly, fees were established on the basis that students would pay a third of the cost of their education and taxpayers would cover the other two-thirds. And that ratio has pretty much remained the same in all the years since.
Chris Whalen also believes that universities should be treated as an investment, where a student will make the money back later in their life.
Based on the likely earnings that they're going to get over working life, so a typical graduate with an undergraduate degree will earn about $1.2 to $1.4 million more over their working life than someone with just a school qualification. And in some fields, that is significantly higher.
According to PayScale, the average yearly salary for someone with a bachelor's degree is $60,000, with some professionals like doctor and engineer earning far more than that. In a 2020 report done by the Ministry of Education, it was revealed that a school leaver without any qualifications makes an average of $38,400. Someone who just has NCA Level 2 makes $46,400, and someone with UE qualification makes $57,000. So to many, like Whalen, the cost of fees in the long run is insignificant compared to the potential high wages that will come with a degree. Since the establishment of fees, the cost of a degree has slowly risen alongside inflation, which is also why New Zealand is where it is today regarding fees. Universities have raised domestic fees by 1.1% a year, which is how New Zealand has arrived at the current price tag. While some students are fine with the current cost of tertiary education, many see the current price as too harsh. Here is New Zealand Union of Student Associations President Andrew Lascelles on the current state of fees.
Well, we in NZUSA firmly believe that education is a public good and actually tertiary education should be free. The Prime Minister describes tertiary education as the greatest enabler in society, so when you have to pay to do it, it doesn't really enable the people who we want to enable. It doesn't really help us to achieve equity. But at the very least, fees should be significantly lower. They're set at a high rate when user pays was introduced in the 1990s, and they've just increased ever since.
Otago University Student Association President Melissa Lama says lower fees would make university a far less exclusive institution. Here she is now.
Yes, of course. I think if tuition fees are lower, it means more accessibility for a range of students with diverse backgrounds. I also think it will remove barriers in terms of you know, young people or people in general questioning whether study is something for them, or, you know, I think it's any barrier that can remove people's opportunity to further their career or anything in life goals, I say we should do it, yeah.
Victoria University Student Association President Ralph Zambrano wants a change.
There needs to be work around addressing tuition fees. And I know that FUSA, that what we're currently looking at is a potentially picking up a campaign on the original government policy in 2017 for 3 years fees free and potentially expanding that. And we're in preliminary conversations with a variety of student associations across the country, as well as NZUSA and our local associations on campus too. We know that it's a barrier for students who get out of high school to attaining higher education. And we're seeing that there's a drop of enrollments across the country, and presumably that is impacted, that is partly due to the extortionate amount of fees that students pay. I mean, the average student's what gonna be in $30,000 to $50,000 in debt, and yeah, we need to be addressing that.
So now we know how universities operated and why student fees are at the price they are. However, if there's one thing that students don't know about university, it's how their fees are spent. Student fees are at an all-time high, and no one knows where they're going. 2021 saw universities earning $4.4 billion and spending around $4.2, leaving a surplus of $200 million. In the University of Auckland's annual report, they reported a net surplus of $129 million. AUT reported $112 million. A lot of people are confused as to where this revenue is actually invested in. For many students, big numbers like this make it seem like they're paying high fees while universities are profiting. Universities New Zealand Chief Executive Chris Whalen explained that while numbers like this seem high, everything is spent to support students and staff.
So the money is reinvested. It's used for things like replacing ageing buildings, ageing equipment. Basically, it's used to deal with things like inflation in the following year. So basically, costs are typically rising faster than income. So effectively, universities are always looking to basically have to deal with the costs they're going to have to deal with in the future years. Now, none of it gets paid.
NZUSA President Andrew Lascelles disagrees with Whalen's explanation, saying that investments are used to support universities' own interests and not the students. He wants that money to go back to the people who are paying fees.
Generally speaking, the money goes into the institution's bank account and then gets spent on capital improvements that are decades away, get spent on new buildings, get spent on rather flash, shiny things that actually don't benefit the students here and now. So say a university making tens of millions of dollars of profit last year, that money isn't going to be spent for another couple of decades, which is really exploiting the students of today for supposedly a new building for the students of 20 years in the future. And that's not a really just model. And I think that the minister has set some expectations around the profits institutions are making, and they are kind of taking the mickey a bit. They're making ludicrous profits, and we don't actually know where a lot of those course fees go. Yeah. Institutions claim, for instance, that a lot of the money goes on staff salaries, but actually staff salaries have been pretty much flatlining for the last decade, if not decreasing in real terms. So we're not entirely sure where all this course fee money is going, to be honest. Yeah. And I think institutions are deliberately making it vague, so we can't tell.
VUSA President Ralph Zambrano agrees that while future-proofing universities is important, they should also be investing in course content.
Yeah, I definitely think there needs to be more investment and more allocation towards students directly, especially when it comes to our representative groups on campus and the fact that we're seeing not just the mainstream association, but our partner associations more involved with the university system, whether that's through consultation, advocacy, running events, and we see that they are underfunded and under-resourced. So there is definitely a need for more allocation towards those groups. But at least within Vic, there is a need for greater investment within the infrastructure of the university. We're redoing a variety of buildings within our campus because they are outdated, and we are beginning to have conversations around what is the future of learning and teaching on campus and whether the lecture theatre is still fit for purpose. So definitely see a need for there to be an investment towards infrastructure and those things which may not be as attractive to a student but is critical for the quality of our education. But at the same time, that shouldn't derail or detract from investing in direct student area and direct student services. We know that there needs to be better investment in the learning and teaching platform and what actual resources are available to students. Improving the quality of course content is something else that needs to be invested in, whether that's increased accessibility through universal closed captioning, note-taking, et cetera. There are definitely areas within the direct student sphere that needs greater investment now, especially moving forward.
Closed captioning is the process of adding subtitles to any kind of content to make it more accessible to those who are deaf or hard of hearing. A study done by US IT advocacy group Educase found that things like universal closed captioning increase support for disabled students massively. In a survey done by the group, 65.5% of deaf students found closed captioning was very to extremely helpful when it came to assisting in their studies. 24.9% found it moderately helpful. So, what about student service fees? When starting university, a lot of first years are surprised by the extra $720 to $980 service fee. According to most university websites, these fees go towards anything that isn't related to studying, things like counselling, clubs, and on-campus healthcare, as well as student advocacy. None of this is pocketed by the university. However, some feel that this fee should come out of what students are already paying, not an extra add-on. Here's Ralphson Brown.
Definitely. Our student service levy fee, unfortunately, for the average student who studies around 120 points, is the highest in the country. Our students are paying around $1,200 off the top of my head. And whether that reflects in good services and actually services students' needs, that's another question and something that we've been pushing for with the university. But as a whole, we think students are paying more than they should for the student services levy. And if they're paying a high amount, we have an expectation that's at least reflected in the service delivery.
With all that in mind, many are wondering why university isn't free in New Zealand. Students here are envious of their Nordic counterparts who are attending university for free. In countries like Denmark, Finland, Iceland, Norway, and Sweden, students are paying little to no fees and still receiving a quality education. These countries operate their universities through a fully public model, with the goal of offering educational equality to everyone in the country. Despite universities in New Zealand being public crown entities, students still have to pay. This has led to student advocates across the country calling for tertiary education to become free once again. NZUSA President Andrew Lessels and his organisation believe that education is a public good and should be free. Here he is now.
But it would give students a heck of a lot more room to manoeuvre and allow them to take on more debt at the very least, because they don't have a huge student loan when they come out of education. So certainly making education free and introducing fully implementing fees free would have a major impact on the cost of living for students, because it's also going to mean, when we have what we've seen in any country that introduces free tertiary education in some way, shape or form, is that it actually massively increases the diversity of students. And then the government can't just proclaim, well, these people will have rich parents, these people can survive on the bank of mum and dad, because the students entering into education disprove that. The students entering into education are first and family learners. The students entering into education come from quite diverse backgrounds. And actually that means that we need system change for how they can afford to live as well.
Some people out there call university the most expensive piece of paper you will ever earn. While students in these overseas countries still have debt, it's for things like living expenses and books, meaning that they don't have to worry about when their next meal will be. Fees were introduced in New Zealand to cut down on national debt created by free university, which is why Kiwi students have to pay. A system was created where students were expected to pay one third of their tuition costs, with the government covering the rest. Chris Whalen explained to me that it was believed that students should be contributing to the cost of their education around the time the decision was made. While this offer is far more generous than what some overseas countries have, some students are still paying as high as $10,000 a year for their courses. For international students, the government doesn't cover any of their fees, and they have to pay significantly more than their domestic pupils. Their fees actually cover about 10% of how much money a university makes a year. Educations.com estimates that international students pay between $22,000 to $32,000 per year. One international student BFM spoke to described studying in New Zealand as his life's worst decision. Here's Ralph Zambrano on the current state of international students and fees.
We know the narrative that international students pay an extortionate amount of fees compared to domestic students. The issue that we see is the service availability for them. So they aren't necessarily able to access the same amount of services, whether that's healthcare or even accommodation support that domestic students receive. So there definitely needs to be more investment on specific support for international students on those ends, especially now that we're seeing that the borders are reopening and international students are finally coming back into the country and being part of our university community. We've seen over the last 2 years that there's been a gap in the level of orientation support for our international students, and that's been absent for the last 2 years. So now that we're returning to this sort of interaction and environment, we definitely need to see that there is investment in ensuring that our offshore international students who come onto campus have the proper orientation, are well-resourced and well-prepared, whether that's having someone to pick them up at the airport or running some sort of program to orient them with campus life. We think that that's something that hasn't been invested in over the last 2 years given COVID, but there definitely should be an allocation now.
With high fees for students across the country, student debt now sits at an all-time high of $16 billion, with many calling for change. A big reason for this is because student debt has a massive effect on students' future. While the cost of university is as low as institutions are willing to go, it is widely believed that having free tuition and low debt ultimately leads to a much better working life, as well as better professional growth. A paper published by Princeton University in 2016 found that graduates with high levels of student debt will only see a 0.1% pay increase in the early years of their career. This paper states that large amounts of debt force students into jobs unrelated to their field so they can pay it off as fast as they can. An average loan balance for Kiwi students is around $23,307 and takes around 8 years to pay off. This balance is made up of both fees and living costs. This means that graduates are having to pay off debt while they're working, which holds them back from financial opportunities as well as professional development. Many supporters of Fees Free believe that the model offers massive amounts of relief from debt. Here's Andrew Lascelles.
But there is a fantastic researcher who has done some really impressive work on the cost of Sylvianism, that's it. So I think what we have seen, what we do see in New Zealand is that student debt has a major impact on people's lives and how they live. Sylvia Nissen from Lincoln University has done some really incredible research on the impacts that it has on students. And actually some of the research that she's done has found that students have to set back major life decisions. For instance, we see people on average taking 10 years longer to save up to buy their first house, people having to delay starting a family, people having to really delay those big life decisions that make life meaningful. Because they have this burden of debt over their head. They have 20, 30, 40 grand of debt from their qualification, even more if they study a longer course. And then they also have, as the cost of living increases, huge living cost debt.
Yeah.
And if they go overseas to take those career opportunities, they get interest thrown on them. And if they stay in New Zealand, we have one of the lowest thresholds for repayment in the world. So even if you're on minimum wage, you're still paying a significant chunk of your salary back to the government.
I also asked OUSA President Melissa Lama as to whether student debt affects your future.
Oh, of course. I mean, if I look at my own student loan amount right now, I'm dreading the time in which I have to pay it back. I know I need to, simply because you go into this work employment environment and you still have to budget, right? And so on top of paying your living costs, which are quite high and constantly rising, you've also got to consider that you have no choice but to pay a certain percentage back every income pay. And we, you know, we go into graduate pays, jump straight to a six figure, depending on what area you go into. And so I think that is something that does affect students. And we always joke around, and it's true, that is one of the most expensive pieces of paper that you will ever gain. And so I can see how that will be a burden or a lot of pressure on students post-study, yeah.
So how do we change the university system? To combat student debt and improve the lives of students, politicians and organisations are calling for New Zealand to take a long look at its tertiary education. In the early stages of the current government, massive reform was ready to be put in place. But unfortunately, due to COVID-19, it was cancelled. This hasn't stopped many from thinking of ways to change how we pay for university. NZUSA President Andrew Lascelles believes that we should stop seeing university as a business and rather look at it as an educational institution.
Yeah, I think universities is the current standard for profit enterprises, and they use tuition fees from students. One of the reasons tuition fees are so inflated is because they use them to prop up other parts of the institution. They use student fees to prop up research from the institution. They use student fees to make up for a government funding system that simply doesn't work. And they use student fees to pay for all sorts of frivolous and non-essential items when actually they just see students as cash cows. And when you see a student as a cash cow and you see a fee that they pay as a way to make money out of them rather than as a way to help support them, we get really bad outcomes. So if we stop treating students as cash cows and stop treating institutions as for-profit entities, actually we'll see hugely increased student outcomes. Because if you treat them as a human being and not as a blank check, funnily enough, they're better at succeeding. And that's what the research shows us internationally.
Yep. This sentiment is carried by OUSA President Melissa Lum.
Oh, of course. I think there must be an element of business that runs around sustainability that's got to be considered. But I also think there's always room for improvement. And if we can look at it in that perspective, I think it'll be a lot better. But also, I think it will change the environment as well. Institutions are still very, there's like this attitude around universities, and some of it is from students in terms of how they view universities, but also some of it is set by the institutions themselves. And do we really need to have, academics who are making, all this type of money, which is like, people can argue they've studied hard for it, they deserve to get what they want, but it's like, is that resource distribution actually needed in that way? And I probably get a lot of flack from it from academics that I know, but I know for a fact that if we're looking at future sustainability of young people coming through into these roles when they eventually finish and retire and move on, are we actually future-proofing that right now, the system in which we're running institutions? Yeah.
Ralph Zambrano wants to see fees-free implemented to provide security for students' future.
I definitely think it will improve the overall quality of life for a student. Even though it is a long-term benefit, if you will, it is an investment piece to remove tuition fees for tertiary institutions. But I think it does remove that stressor that students are going to be spending a majority of their adult lives paying off thousands of dollars in debt, and means that we're better set up for the future. We have that sense of security of being able to realize our full potential, if you will, once we get our degrees. I also think that it just increases the accessibility of higher education as well. And given the stresses and impacts that we've seen over the last few years with COVID, and I guess the impact of student well-being, we definitely want to be doing more to reduce these stress points to students.
Chris Whalen from Universities New Zealand believes that the current system is one that supports both taxpayers and students.
So look, I think the student fees have been set on the basis of what is what is necessary for students to be able to contribute to the cost of the qualifications, and it's based on the likely earnings that they're going to get over working life. So a typical graduate with an undergraduate degree will earn about $1.2 to $1.4 million more over their working life than someone with just a school qualification, and in some fields that is significantly higher.
While the government has stated that the full realisation of fees-free is on hold for the indefinite future, students aren't hopeful. With the National Party currently leading in the polls, Labor has had to take more of a moderate approach to university fees. This means that students are not likely to see much of a change in the immediate future. So for now, students are going to have to pay up and hit the books. Jack Horsnell, BFM News.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.